Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
Good morning again, and welcome to the house of the Lord. Today, we're going to conclude our study in the book of Galatians this morning. So if you'll stand for the reading of God's word and turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 11 this morning. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So Paul, throughout his letter to the churches in Galatia, has over and over again addressed the false teachers who were coming in like wolves in sheep's clothing, under false pretenses and claiming to have some sort of authority from the church of Jerusalem to try to convince these Gentile believers that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved, essentially to convert to Judaism. And I, he's addressed this in every way possible to confront. He talked about, that the promise of God through Abraham and that his seed would bless the whole world was not nullified when the law was given, but the law was given to be our tutor, to show us how woefully short we fall of God's standard and how much we need God, and why the death of Jesus Christ was so special and so necessary for you and I to be redeemed, to be reconciled in our relationship with God, and that is through faith and faith alone, that we cannot earn God's righteousness or forgiveness. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn justification. It is a gift from God, as the Bible says, lest anyone should boast. And so Paul addresses the false teaching of these Judaizers to go so far as to accuse them of coming in and sneaking in and plotting against them to destroy the Gentile churches. And so here he is going to conclude his argument against these Judaizers, these Jews who were false teachers coming among the Gentiles. He's going to sum up and close out his argument with this. So he says to them in verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. So the typical way that you would write in this time would have been a very beautiful script, right? Kind of like our cursive of today. Formal, beautiful, right? Elegant writing, which was what you would have used to communicate in these letters. But what Paul says here is that he didn't use that script, beautiful, widely used writing style. What he used, the Greek here says, is block letters, right? So like a headline in a newspaper, right? Big, bold letters to make sure that there was no confusion when they read what they were reading, right? He was like writing a headline in our day. You need to pay attention to this. This letter isn't like any other letters that you receive. You need to read it and understand it and apply it. Now, some have said that Paul wrote that because he was potentially having issues with his sight and he was going blind. But in my opinion, there is no reason to believe that's why he did it. Paul typically used folks to write his words for him and to be a scribe. But in this case, he says, I wrote with my own hand. And the Greek there that he wrote, says, translated, he wrote in his own hand, doesn't just mean he wrote this part. He wrote the whole thing in his own hand. So he was deliberately wrote this letter in his own hand in giant letters, to block letters, to get the attention of his readers so that they would not be able to question its authority and its source. So if the Judaizers came in and saw this letter and said, oh, Paul didn't write that, that's somebody else that wrote that. Someone else forged that. They couldn't do that because this was Paul's writing in his style. And it could not be questioned that he is the one that penned the letter. So they may call him a liar. They may try to discredit what he wrote in the letter. But what they could not do was claim that Paul never wrote it. That it was written by, it was forged. That it was a forgery that was written by somebody else. And so Paul, you know, he is essentially, as we've seen in other places in the letter, his heart is broken for these people. He's broken for these Gentiles, especially those who have been deceived. Who have been, you know, deceived into believing that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. That there was something more required than Jesus Christ and his death and faith in him and him alone. His heart was broken and he was angry with the ones that were deceiving them. Right? And so he's shouting at them in the only way he knew how, which was as we would do behind the keyboard today, use all caps. Right? If you're texting somebody or you want to get their attention, you use all caps, right? Because you want them to read and focus on what you have. If I'm writing something, I'll bold or underline, right? What it is that I particularly want them to focus on. While Paul wrote the entirety of this letter in large blocked handwriting so that it could not be mistaken that he meant serious business. It was to be addressed because his heart was hurting for these people. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross. So there's a lot to unpack here. He says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, what they were wanting to do is they were wanting to get credit, right, for these folks who were being deceived and being circumcised. Not only so, they were counting them as their own weird fruit to present to other Jews, look at what we're doing, right? And so much, you can see also that Paul accuses them that they were also doing this with the ulterior motive so that they wouldn't be persecuted by other Jews, by the Roman government, whatever the case may be. So these guys had all kinds of ulterior motives by coming into this church. We already saw that Paul accuses them of trying to deceive them on purpose to hurt their relationship with God, that it was a coordinated effort that they snuck in, right? That they snuck into these churches. It was a coordinated effort to cause disunity and to cause infighting and to cause disruption within the church, that they were seeking to actually harm these believers in their relationship with God. And now here, Paul says their ulterior motive also was that they wanted to preach the circumcision so they could stay in good favor with the other Jews who were like-minded. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders who were still hung up on the crucifixion and the death and the life of Christ, right, to please them. So they had ulterior motives. Why? Because they didn't want to suffer persecution. Down deep inside, it didn't matter to them if Jesus was real or not, or died or rose resurrected or not. They did not want to suffer. So what they did is they thought they could walk the line of preaching Jesus, but also preaching circumcision so that they would not be persecuted for the, as Paul says, the cross of Christ. Oh my goodness, they were so afraid of what people would think about them and that they too may be persecuted that they twisted and corrupted the good news of Jesus and faith in Christ alone. And we have that in our world today. People who do not want to, Christians or people, those who call themselves Christians, who are so afraid of being labeled as fanatics and being discriminated or persecuted against because of their faith in Jesus Christ and what that means and what that says about them and as a message to the world, that they compromise. I just read an actor who is all over the place. He even has his own Instagram channel where he supposedly talks about God and he's this big Christian and all of these things. Yet in those, he's completely compromised. He takes the scripture out of context to support beliefs and systems in the world that God has called sin. Why? Because if he does like a real Christian would, and really called sin what God calls sin, and spoke out and defended what God calls right, then he would be ostracized from Hollywood. And we've seen that. We've seen Christians who stood up for what was right, Christians who were very popular in an acting world, but when they stood up for the gospel of Christ, they were ostracized. Because in Hollywood especially, the Bible's not popular. The gospel's not popular. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. No one wants to hear that, right? This gentleman, in an effort to stay relevant and an effort, he's genuinely convinced himself that God accepts certain sins. Or that the Bible was mistaken when it called out certain sins. And that's a travesty. But that's what these people were doing. And they were wanting to force circumcision so that they wouldn't be persecuted for not obeying the rites and the rituals of Jewish tradition and the Jewish law. And that's it's a travesty. And are we doing that in our society? In our world, are we causing those around us to fall or maybe not even get the message of the gospel because we are so afraid of being counted with Christ? It's scary. And as time continues to progress, we all will be called upon to eventually make a stand. We won't be able to hide. If you're a Christian, you won't be able to hide any longer. If you really believe what you say you believe, if you really committed to Christ, you cannot go along with what the world says, what the world is doing, right? You can't. So your options are serve Christ and be faithful to him regardless, or compromise. So let's not be like these Jews. And in their compromise, they were bringing other people down with them. They weren't just going down with the ship themselves. They were dragging people with them, trying to bring them. And they could have just went and did their thing if they were so afraid of persecution. But they were hurting others. They were recruiting others to their own cowardice so that they could build a name for themselves. That's scary. Let us not do the same. Verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So they wanted to have them circumcised and to convert to Judaism, essentially, so that they could brag. Look at how many of these Gentiles, Christian believers, that we've got to convert to Judaism. Look at all these proselytes we've got, right? So it was the selfish motive of making themselves look good to others that somehow they were effective in winning people because they were getting folks to convert to Judaism and be circumcised. Again, out of pride. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to have influence. They wanted to be heard. And the way that they found to have influence and to be seen and to be heard was to have false teaching and to try to get people to convert and follow them. So they were judging their success by how many people followed them. And that's scary too in our world. When you judge the success of following Christ by how many people follow you. We are called to win souls for Christ, and it should be a priority in our life. But we should not be doing so with the ulterior motive of being seen by man. By being seen, to be seen by others, to be praised and patted on the back for our great soul-winning abilities. That's sin, that's pride, that's ulterior motives. We are to share the gospel because we love God and we love and care for people. We don't want to see anyone in the devil's hell. We don't want to see them suffer eternity. And it doesn't matter if we ever get credit for one soul. We want to see that person know Christ as Lord and Savior, right? That's what it's supposed to be about. So we should be excited and we want to win people to Christ, but it should not be a badge of honor. It should not be done with ulterior motives. Let's rejoice because the angels rejoice, but we rejoice in God, not ourselves, and our great linguistic capabilities and our ability to reason. Let us not become prideful and arrogant, because the truth is, while we share, it is God and the Holy Spirit who draw and save. Amen. Right? I'm just the vessel that shares the message. It is God who handles the results. Right? So we have nothing to be prideful or arrogant about. And so we have preachers, though, all over the world, especially in the United States, that are preaching a gospel that they preach to get themselves credit. They boast in their numbers and they boast in the size of their churches and how many people are coming and how fast they're growing. But if that's the reason that they are ministering is because they want to build a big church, that's wrong. If the reason they're celebrating is not celebrating the grace and the mercy of God, but they're celebrating themselves and how smart they are, that's wrong. That's pride, right? And pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Mm-hmm. So that's scary. We must be careful and always watching our motives to ensure that we do not become prideful and arrogant and base our success and how many people follow us and our doctrine. That's frightening when you think about it. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I'm not boasting in anything that I've done. I'm not boasting in any of the churches that have started and any of the souls that have been saved. I'm not boasting. And he's like, if anyone has a right to boast, I have a right to boast. You know what I'm saying? He's like, listen, the stuff that I've gone through, what I've endured, the places I've been, the people I've seen, the way that God's moved and the way that God's used me, if anyone should boast, it should be me. But he says, I don't boast in those things. I boast in the cross of Christ. Why? Because to Paul, Christ was everything. Paul didn't go and preach because he wanted a following. He went and preached because he believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. And Jesus met him on that road to Damascus and changed his life and had mercy on him. And he wanted others to experience salvation and grace and mercy the way that he had experienced it. He didn't do it for fame or fortune or notoriety. He did it because he loved God and he didn't want people to go to hell. So he boasted in the cross of Christ. And he suffered willingly. That's why he said, I've learned how to abase and I've learned to abound. I've learned to have a little, and I've learned to have a lot. I've learned to be poor, and I've learned to be rich. I've learned all to do all of these things. Why? Because it is about Christ and not about me. If the man was searching for notoriety in terms of getting a following and being praised and worshiped, he went the wrong way to doing it. He went the wrong way about it. He was beaten and stoned, and he was imprisoned and, you know, ostracized and rejected and, attacked regularly all the time by the people, the very people that he ministered to. So he didn't do it, you know, for ulterior motives. He did it because he loved God. And he wanted people to be saved. He wanted to spread the good news of justification by faith. Because listen, just if that message changed his life. You know it because over and over again in his writings, he talks about what he used to be and what he was now. That he was a Pharisee. That he'd spent his life pouring his life into being good enough, trying to be righteous on his own merit, obeying the law, doing all of the ceremonies, and then also all the traditions on top of the law. All of these things he prided himself in, and then he realized one day, because of Jesus Christ, it wasn't enough. And he realized that he didn't have to adhere, and he didn't have to beat himself down, and he didn't have to do all of those things because Jesus Christ provided salvation and justification through his death on the cross and his resurrection, and faith only in him was required, a gift. He didn't have to work so hard anymore. And he didn't want others to have to be deceived like he was, to believe that you could be good enough. Or that you had to be good enough. But God took you as you are, saved you, and changes you. Amen. It was important to him. It was a doctrine that was critical to him. And so when he did everything that he did, every person he talked to, every synagogue he visited, every message that he preached, every word that he spoke was done for Christ. Always pointed back to Christ, never to himself, never to those who traveled with him, always to Christ. He says, I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world has been crucified to me. So all desires, all the pleasures, all of the adulation, all the worship, all the pats on the back, that was all dead to Paul. All the things of the world, they were crucified when he was crucified with Christ. All of that was crucified, and he didn't need the praise or the pats on the back. He didn't need to be celebrated. He didn't need any of that, because his salvation and his joy and his hope and his satisfaction was in his Savior and no one else. Oh, that you and I would get to the place where our joy and our satisfaction in our lives would be because of the Savior, Jesus Christ, that all of the other things would be crucified with him. All the selfish desires to be praised and to be honored, and right, and to be patted on the back and to be lifted up, that would all be crucified, so that it would only be Christ that is raised up, not ourselves, not our egos, not our pride, not our accomplishments, none of those things, not our talents, our gifts that God has blessed, none of those things would be exalted, but that Christ would be exalted. That's the key, that God would bless and multiply, and that there would be fruit in all of our lives and all of our ministries, but then all glory would go to God and to honor him. And that you and I could get to the place where we would be satisfied with our Savior and not need all of the other stuff. And I got to tell you guys, I've been bred and wired. I guess I was born this way, or it's my conditioning as a child. As I have struggled my whole life with wanting the approval of people. needing to be patted on the back, needing to be told that I've done a good job. I struggle with that in some aspects even today and become down and out if I don't get that, right? It's hard. We are built and wired to, we want praise and acceptance, but that is not to be our motivation or we get our satisfaction from. So that if no one ever tells us thank you, pats us on the back, gives us a hug, tells us how awesome we are ever again, it's just enough that Christ died for us and saved us. Amen. And so because of that, we keep serving, we keep doing, no matter what the world around us is doing and no matter how we're being treated, no matter what, we keep serving him and honoring him. And I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Again, so because of the death of Christ, a justification through faith and faith alone, being circumcised doesn't do anything for you. Not being circumcised doesn't do anything for you. So those who were circumcised had no right to brag about being circumcised, and those who were uncircumcised had no right to brag about being uncircumcised, right? The only thing that changes you and I, the only value there is that we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? What was old is dead and gone, and we are now new creations. Not our who we used to be or what we used to do, but we are new in Christ with a bright and beautiful future. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with physical manifestations that we produce. Nothing to do with how good we are, how great we are, how obedient we are. It has everything to do with who Christ is and that he has made us a new creation. Amen. That's what it's all about, folks. And today you would have people who would brag about how talented they are, how great they sing, how great they preach, how great they do X, Y, and Z, and believe that somehow that it means something and gives value beyond being a new creation, and that simply isn't true. Those are tools that God uses. But the tools are subject to the Creator. Amen. So I don't worship or honor God because of any talents or gifts I have. I honor him because he died for me and he forgave me of my sins. And now because of that, I am happy to use those gifts for him, whether people like it or not, appraise me or not, approach me or not, adore me or not. Amen. It all boils down to that I'm a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So all those who walk according to the Spirit and practice justification by faith and preach justification by faith, honoring God in the crucifixion and the price that Christ paid on Calvary, he said, you know, let them walk in peace let them have peace and mercy upon them. That peace of God that passes all understanding, that peace of God that's promised in spite of everything that we're facing in our lives. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He's saying, guys, get it together. I don't want to hear about this anymore. He's honestly saying, because I'm old and I'm tired. And I bear the marks. He's talking about scars and injuries and broken bones from all of the persecution he suffered for the cause of Christ. He says, I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm tired. I'm old. Don't bother me. I have suffered greatly, right? If it was us, he'd be saying, I have arthritis, right? My knees hurt, my back hurts, my neck hurts. I've got scars and all of these things. I mean, he's saying all the things, he says it. The marks I bear in my body because of the Lord Jesus Christ or of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he suffered for Christ. He said, I'm tired, guys, please. Do what you're supposed to do. Read this letter. and adhere to it and drive out the false teachers. He's saying, I'm not always going to be here. Right? I'm getting old. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. What a challenging book or letter that Paul wrote. And even though it was written all those years ago to churches in another part of the world, it is so applicable to us today. I pray that throughout this series that you have learned something, that you have been challenged. I know I've been challenged in my own life. If you missed any of the messages, I am in the process right now of posting them online, getting them edited and uploaded online so that you could go back and listen to any that you've missed or listen to any that you would like to hear again. So I just posted the third one, and I should got the fourth one done last night. I'll post it. Nothing happens, Lord's will, today. So if, you know, encourage you, if you missed any, to go back and listen. I feel like this was one of my favorite series that I've ever done. So I hope that you've enjoyed it, that you were challenged by it, that it changed our lives. Let us stand.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a loss for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.